For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.
July 11th?
Yeah, tomorrow.
In Malachim, we really completed what we were going to do on Yoshiyahu last week, and tonight we're really going to read a few more psukim from Divrei Hayamim. Divrei Hayamim, it's Beis Perek Lamed Hei, chapter 35, at the end of the perek. And it's just a few more psukim to finish up the story of Yoshiyahu being killed, and we'll discuss that point. We had read up to the point that he had gone to the war with Paro Necho. Remember that Paro Necho wanted to go through Eretz Yisrael. He did not want to fight with Yoshiyahu. He wanted to fight with Aram, but he needed to go through Eretz Yisrael to get there. The pasuk says, "V'cherav lo savar ba'artzachem." Therefore, doing the right thing, that even a peaceful sword, a peaceful army, will not go through your land. Yoshiyahu thought that that Klal Yisrael were big tzaddikim, and therefore that pasuk should come true. He was almost right. Unfortunately, the late Sanei Hadar, the scorners of the generation, they were able to do Avodah Zarah in secret. Yoshiyahu didn't know about it, and as a result, the Jewish people did not deserve the bracha of that pasuk. So when Yoshiyahu went to stop, Paro Necho, so the pasuk tells us, we read this last week, that in pasuk Chaf Gimel verse 23, Vayoru Hayorim La Melech Yoshiyahu, the archers shot arrows at the king Yoshiyahu. Vayomer Amelech La Avadav Haviruni Keachalesi Meod, remove me from here because I've become very sick. That the Chazal tell us that he was struck kamatar lachetz. He was like the target of the arrows, and his body became like a sieve. He was hit so many points that he just bled profusely from all over. Vayaviru avadav min amerkava. They removed him from the main chariot. Varkivuhu al rechav hamishne ashalo, and they put him in the secondary chariot that he had. Vayolichu Yerushalayim, and they took him to Yerushalayim. Vayamas, and he died. Vayikaver bekibros avosav. He was buried in the burial places of his ancestors. V'chol Yudav Yerushalayim misablim al Yoshiyahu, and all of Yehud and all of Yerushalayim were in mourning for Yoshiyahu. Vayikonein Yirmiyahu al Yoshiyahu. So Yirmiyahu said a lamentation for Yoshiyahu. So he said this following kina for Yoshiyahu. Vayomru, it doesn't say what the kina was over here. Vayomru chol ha-sharim v'hasharos b'kinosem al Yoshiyahu al hayom. And all of those who sing, the sharim and the sharos, those who sing, said in their kinos on Yoshiyahu until this day. Vayitnum l'chok al Yisrael. They made it a statute for the Jewish people. Vinam ksuvim al-sev al-hakinos, and it is written in the kinos, which means that they made it a rule that any time there's a bad thing that happens in Klal Yisrael and there are kinos recited, then this should be recited as well. This calamity should be mentioned any time there is a tsar in Klal Yisrael. That is why we do say this, we do say a kina for the death of Yoshiyahu on Tisha B'Av. It's one of the first ones we say in the morning, in the kinos. And the kina begins with the words from this pasuk, Vayekonein Yirmiyahu al Yoshiyahu. That's how the kina begins on Tisha B'Av morning, that mentions this particular disaster, the death of Yoshiyahu. Rashi here says, I'll read the Rashi to you. Kishem izdamen lahem shum tsar ubechia. Whenever any terrible thing or crying comes to the Jewish people, shem mekonenim ubochem al ha-mu'ura, that they lament and cry over what happened. Hem mazkirim zehat tsar imo. They mention this tsar along with whatever it is that they are sad about. Dugma, for example, Betisha B'Av, Shemazkirim Kinos, Alaharugim, Bigzeros, She'iru, Biyameinu, when we mention the kinos of those who were killed in the terrible decrees that happened in our days, Kain Yivkuyun al Yom Mos Yoshiyahu, that we also cry for the day of the death of Yoshiyahu. So, we're going to talk about why this is singularly bad. But the death of Yoshiyahu happens here, and as it says at the end of this pasuk, Vehinam ksuvim ala kinos, it is written in the kinos, or on the kinos. The kinos, when it is mentioned in Tanakh, is not referring to the kinos that we say on Tisha B'Av morning. The kinos we say on Tisha B'Av morning are a collection of lamentations that were composed primarily by the Rishonim, the most prolific of whom was Rabbi Elazar HaKalir. He's the most cited author of the kinos. However, there are others as well. One of them is attributed to Rashi. There are a few different authors of the kinos. But when it's mentioned here in Tanakh, kinos refers to the Megillah of Eicha. Eicha is called kinos in Tanakh. And so when it says it's written in kinos, it's referring to Eicha, which I'll present to you in a moment. So that we lament the loss of Yoshio. Now, Eicha has five prakim. It has five chapters. Eicha has five chapters. The first four, well, it used to only have three chapters. The first, the second, and the fourth. Who wrote Eicha? Yirmiyahu wrote Eicha. Yirmiyahu wrote Eicha. He wrote the first, second, and fourth prakim of Eicha. Then the king Yehoyakim, who will be coming up shortly, who was a big rasha, burned the Sefer Kinos. And when Yirmiyahu rewrote it, he included the third parak, and we'll talk about that, Mirz Hashem, when we get to the reign of Yehoyakim and what happened in his day. The fourth parak of Eicha is a kina to Yoshiyahu. Now, included in it, when Yirmiyahu wrote it, he also included other things, not just about Yoshiyahu, but it is primarily about this terrible calamity of the death of Yoshiyahu. The pasuk tells us in the beginning of Eicha Perek Dalid, Eicha Yuam Zahav Yishne HaKesem HaTov. How could the gold become diminished? That it would be that the beauty would change, would go away. Tishtapechna Avne Kodesh. The stones of sanctity will be spilled berosh kol chutzos in front of all the streets. Rashi here says, kina zu nemra al Yoshiyahu. This kina was said about Yoshiyahu. Kamosh nemra b'divrei hayamim, like it says in the pasuk we just read in divrei hayamim, halo hi ksuva al sefer hakinos. That pasuk we just read is referring to this parak of Eicha. V'ima chiber besoch hakina es shar b'nei tzion. And included in this kina, the fourth parak of Eicha, Yirmiyahu included the other b'nei tzion, the other young men who were killed of Tzion. Later in the fourth parak of Eicha, the pasuk says the first, second, and fourth prakim of Eicha each have 22 psukim. They go with the order of the Aleph Beis. So the pasuk, which is the Reish pasuk, which is the 20th pasuk of the parak, it's a rather famous pasuk. Ruach apenu Mashiach Hashem. The spirit of our faces, the Mashiach of Hashem, Nilkat Bishchiso Sam, was trapped in their destructiveness, the destructiveness of our enemies, which was based on our sins. Asher Amarnu, that we had said, Bitzilo Nichya Vagoyim, we will live amongst the nations under his shadow. We thought that through Yoshiyahu, the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash would be prevented, we thought we could make it through because of Yoshiyahu. And instead, he was killed. The Rashi here says, in Pasuk Chaf in Eicha Perek Dalet, Mashiach Hashem Hu Yoshiyahu, this refers to Yoshiyahu, K'moshen Emor B'Divrei HaYamim, Vayikonen Yirmiyahu Al Yoshiyahu. The Yirmiyahu said a kina about this terrible calamity of the death of Yoshiyahu. Rashi also tells us that in Amos, Perek Ches, in Shrei Asar, Amos Perek Ches, also is referring to the death of Yoshiyahu. In Parakesh chapter 8, Pasuk Tes, verse 9, the Pasuk says, V'ayah b'ayomahu will be on that day, after all the sins of the Jewish people, Num Hashem Elokim says Hashem, Ve'ivesi Hashemesh bat Zoharayim, I will set the sun in midday. The famous quote that the sun setting in midday was said about Yoshiyahu, that him being killed. And I will make darkness on the ground on the day of light. Rashi tells us why is the death of Yoshio compared to the sun setting in the middle of the day. Rashi says, Kishihi Shalom Gadol, when it's a time, Kishihi Shalom Gadol, when it'll be a time of great peace. Tavom Mapala Pisom, there will be a precipitous drop that will come suddenly. Vamru Abu Sena, our sages tell us, and Moed Katan, Chazal say, Ze Yomo Shal Yoshio, this refers to the day of Yoshio, She Meis Becherev Shal Shalom, that he was killed in a sort of peace. It wasn't wartime. It was peace. And yet he was killed. Kamo Shamru Abu Sena, Ein Lecha Cherev Shal Shalom Yosem, Parnacho, there's no greater sort of peace than Parnacho, who was not coming for war. As he says to Yoshio, I'm not coming to fight with you, just to come through your land. And Shemesh, the sun, refers to Malchus based David, Nimshla Keshemesh. The Malchus based David is compared to the sun. And the death of Yoshio was like the sun setting in the middle of the day. Because from here on in, the end is inevitable. There is nothing that's going to stop the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Yoshio was the last hope. Next Pasuk in Amos, Pasuk Yud, verse 10, V'hafachti chageichem le'eval, I will turn your celebration into mourning. V'chol shireichem le'kina, all your songs will turn to lamentation, which is borrowing from the Pasuk in Divrei HaYamim, that the sharim and the sharos would turn into kinos. V'haleisi al kol masnayim sok, I will bring up on all midsections sackcloth. V'al kol rosh karcha, and on every head, ripping out the hair. V'samtia ke'eval yachid, I will make it like the singular mourning, which Rashi tells us means ka'av shemis abala ben yachid, like a father who is mourning over his only son who died. V'acharisa ki amar, and afterwards will be like a day of bitterness. So this is all talking about the death of Yoshiyahu, because Yoshiyahu was, as I mentioned, the last chance. With all of the terrible things that had gone on in the years of Menashe and Amon, so Yoshiyahu, with the tshuva that he brought about, and the fact that he rededicated himself and everybody to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there was the possibility that the great evil that had taken place would be reversed. But Yoshiyahu was unfortunately cut down he was 39 years old. It was before he had a chance to complete the Jewish people's returning to Hashem. And that's why it is such a terrible calamity, even though there are other calamities that have taken place. But Yoshiyahu was the last hope that perhaps there would not be a destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash. Once Yoshiyahu dies, then there is nothing left. And from here on in, it is the beginning of the end. And we will document that as we go along. In that kina that is said about Melech Yoshio, Vayikanein Yirmiyahu al Yoshiyahu. So in that kina, the rest of the story of the death of Yoshio is told. And it is very important to know what happened in the last moments of Yoshio's life. In the kinos, so you have some that we say at night, most of them we say in the morning. And in the kinos of the morning, but we have the kina that begins Vayikonen Yirmiyahu al Yoshiyahu. The Yirmiyahu said a kina about Yoshiyahu. It is In my kinos, they call it kina number 11. They count the ones at night as well. And it begins with Eicha Eli Konanu Me'elav. So it says that the kina says Ben Shmona Shana Heicha Lidrosh Me'elokav, that he was 8 years old and he began to seek Hashem, and it tells all about Yoshiyahu. Gam b'chol malchei Yisrael asher kamu ligdor lo kam kamohu mimos avigdor. There was no one as great as Yoshiyahu from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. It says how great he was. Davat po chet leitzani hador. It cling to him the sin of the leitzani hador, those who worshipped avodah zarah in secret, like I mentioned to you last week. And here it says asher kamu achar hadeles lisdor, that they set up their avodah zarah behind the door so it could not be seen by the king's agents who came around seeking out the avodah zarah. And it begins to say the whole story of what happened with Yoshiyahu. As with all the kinos, the Hebrew is not easy to read, and it's worthwhile to see it with an English translation. So it talks about how he went to fight with Paro Necho to keep him from going through. He says, "Kila hamonai leches Aram Naharayim." He wanted to stop him from going to Aram Naharayim, to stop Paro Necho from going to Aram Naharayim. L'man lo savor cherev kol shu be'Ephraim. So even no sword, even the sword of peace, should not go through Ephraim. V'lo shamala chozel shuv acharayim. He did not listen to the navi to turn around. Now he didn't actually. The navi didn't tell him not to go. But the Gemara says that Yoshiyahu was taken to task because he didn't ask Yirmiyahu. That he should have, Yirmiyahu was there, Yirmiyahu was the Navi, and Yoshiyahu should have asked Yirmiyahu whether Klal Yisrael deserved this bracha. Now he believed they did deserve the bracha, which is why he didn't ask Yirmiyahu, and therefore he was killed. As it says, Mechatos Sisiras Mezuzos, from the sins of what was hidden by the doorposts, Chazon Ansosai Hechilu Levazos, etc. It goes on to say what happened. Now, so he was shot with all the arrows. So now the kina tells us the following. Odenu otse meinav begevyono chatzim, while he was still closing his eyes and they were still shooting arrows at him. Chetz achar chetz morim velo chatzim, arrow after arrow they were shooting and hitting him. Tzadu v'samu kamator lachitzim, they made him like, they hunted him, they made him like a target for the arrows. V'yizraku vo shlosh meos chitzim, and 300 arrows were shot at him. That could be an exaggeration, but it means he was hit by so many arrows. Kalim hitu acharav ezon motzofihu. However, the tzaddikim, they wanted to hear what was coming out of his mouth. The Medrash tells us that as he was dying, his lips were moving. Yirmiyahu saw Yoshiyahu's lips moving. And Yirmiyahu was afraid, because Yoshiyahu was a tzaddik gomer. Yoshiyahu was a huge tzaddik. He was a complete tzaddik. Yirmiyahu was afraid that Yoshiyahu was complaining, was
bemoaning his fate?
Well, not just bemoaning his fate, but that he had complaints against Hashem, that how could a great tzaddik like him be killed like this in battle? Mm-hmm. That should never have happened. Mm-hmm. And he was afraid that it was kfira, that there was heresy coming out of the mouth of Yoshiyahu, chas v'shalom. So as Yoshiyahu was dying and his mouth lips were moving, then Yirmiyahu leaned close to his mouth to hear what Yoshiyahu was saying. And as it says, I'll read the kina itself, Va'ad mitzvi nefesh ma'asav efiu, and until the last ounce of his soul, his actions shone forth, Ruach svasav hiftsa mipihu, the breath of his lips came out of his mouth, Tzadiku Hashem kimarisi fihu. Hashem is a tzadik because I am the one who went against his word. That Yirmiyahu, that heard Yoshiyahu saying in his dying breath that Hashem is the tzaddik and I am the one who did the avera, even as he's dying. So as Yoshiyahu is dying, he still said tzaddiku Hashem ki fihu marisi, because I'm the one who went against his word. And because of the fact that Yoshiyahu died with those words, So that's why Yirmiyahu then said a kina for Yoshiyahu. And he made it, Yirmiyahu is the one who made it the rule that we always have to remember what happened with Yoshiyahu, because Yoshiyahu died as a tzaddik gamur, and could have been the way to prevent the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. There is a deeper message, though, which is the following, that as Yoshiyahu could have been, there could have not been a Churban Bayis. The Beis HaMikdash might not have been destroyed because of Yoshiyahu. But instead he was killed. And really, it's not his fault. It's his fault in the sense that Hashem is medaktik im chasid of kuchot asayra. Hashem holds the great ones to the highest standards, to even a hair's breadth of making a mistake. And here his mistake was that he didn't consult with Yirmiyahu. He didn't know that he needed to consult with Yirmiyahu. He was sure that there was no problem over here, but he didn't know, and he's held responsible for that little tiny infraction of not having spoken to Yirmiyahu. As he is dying, it would have been very easy for him to say, "This is not fair. This is not what should be happening. Klal Yisrael doesn't deserve this. I don't deserve this. Why is this happening? Why me?" He could have said that. But instead he accepted it and he turned it on himself. He said, "Hashem is always the tzaddik. Whatever it is, Hashem is the tzaddik. I did something wrong." And he accepted it completely. His death, as I said before, means that now the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash is inevitable. It's going to happen. And as Klal Yisrael is destroyed in the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, and we are taking the Golas in chains, so at that point, Klal Yisrael as a whole could do the same thing that Yirmiyahu was afraid Yoshiyahu was doing, which is Klal Yisrael could say, "This is not fair. Why does this happen? This shouldn't be happening." And Yoshiyahu, even as he's dying, becomes the example for how we, as Klal Yisrael, need to accept the Churban. Tzadik hu Hashem, kifi hu marisi. Hashem is the tzadik. We rebelled against him. And that's why all the bad has happened. It's not because of something's unfair. It's not, everything is fair. Atzor tamim palo, Hashem did it because he's the tzaddik, and we have rebelled, and we need to do tshuva. Yoshiyahu is telling Klal Yisrael in his dying breath that now that the Churban is going to happen, because I'm going to die, I'm about to die, therefore the Churban is inevitable, it's going to happen, the way that you will get out of that Churban, the way that you will prevent that Churban from being a total destruction is tzaddik hu Hashem kifi hu marisi. Hashem is the tzaddik. I have done wrong. I need to figure out what I did wrong, and I need to correct that. That's the way that the Churban will not be a complete destruction, and that's the way the Churban will eventually turn around, and the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt. That's the final message Yoshiyahu is giving, which is Yirmiyahu makes that a point. Everybody needs to remember this all the time, that Yoshiyahu left us with the most important message we could have for Golus. The most important message we can have is we don't say, "How could this have happened?" We don't say it's not fair. We don't complain about our lot. Rather, we say, "Tzadik hu Hashem, kifi hu marisi." That's the message Yoshiyahu gives Klal Yisrael with his last breath. And that's why it always has to be included in all of the kinos. Anytime there is any kind of bechiya or tsar that Klal Yisrael goes through, there's always the potential a person could say, "It's not fair. This is not just. Hashem is not judging correctly." A person could say things like that, which is, we have to therefore bring up Yoshiyahu's calamity and say that nothing could appear more unjust than the death of Yoshiyahu. And even then, Yoshiyahu says, "Tzadik hu Hashem, kifi hu marisi." Yeah.
Okay, so I'm sorry, I'm stuck on the point of Yoshiyahu should have consulted Yirmiyahu, and Yirmiyahu would have said, "You still have sinners among the people, and therefore you're not protected."
I don't know if Yirmiyahu would have said that. There was a nevuah that Paranacho would be destroyed in Mitzrayim. So Yirmiyahu would have told him that Nevuah tells us that Paranachu is not going to be destroyed here in Eretz Yisrael, therefore you shouldn't attack him. I don't know if Yirmiyahu knew about the Avodah Zarah, but he would have told him, that's what Chazal say, would have told him that the Nevuah of it's not an easy Nevuah to read, but the language is L'sach Seich Mitzrayim B'Mitzrayim, that Mitzrayim will be destroyed in Mitzrayim, which is a nevuah. Yeah, it's a pasuk in Yeshayahu, Perek Yutes pasuk Beis. V'sichsachti Mitzrayim b'Mitzrayim. So he would have told him that that pasuk applies here. That's a pasuk in Yeshayahu, which was over 100 years before this event. So the Yirmiyahu would have told him, based on that pasuk, that you're not going to be successful against Paranachoh here. For whatever reason, it's not going to come to pass, and therefore you should not fight with him. That's what Chazal say that Yirmiyahu would have told him. But again, we're talking about a very, very, very fine subtlety, because in Yoshio's mind, everybody's our tzaddikim. There's no avodah zarah in the whole country. We eradicated everything. And therefore, all the nevuahs have to come true. Remember, Yoshio was basing on emunah. He had powerful emunah. He believed with all his every fiber of his being that the pasuk says there's not going to be a sword going through our land, even in peace. Therefore, it can't be. It can't be. It was his emunah that he was working off of. But nevertheless, the subtle error of not having spoken to Yirmiyahu in advance. That's what Chazal say. So it's on his level that he's held accountable. Now, we're going to move on from here to we're going to move on in Malachim to the next phase. I want to just give you, in the last few minutes we have before we have to end, I want to give you the family tree of, because it's a little bit confusing, so I just want to give you the family tree of Yoshiyahu, because that's the next step. The kings that are going to follow are, of course, going to be, as always, the family of the previous king, as it's the son after son, ben achar ben. So, Yoshiyahu, I guess I'll put it in English. Yoshiyahu, who is a great tzaddik, he has three sons. The oldest son is Yehoyakim. The next son is Yehoahaz. And the next son is Tzidkiyahu. Now, the truth is that they have other names, but these are the names that they're known as for us, as we'll see as we go through the story. Yehoyakim has a son named Yechaniah, or Yehoyachin. So, in terms of tzaddik and rasha, Yoshiyahu, of course, is a tzaddik. Tzidkiyahu is a tzaddik. Yehoahaz is a rasha. Yehoyachin is a rasha. Yechaniah is a rasha. Okay. In terms of order, after Yoshiyahu dies, his second son, Yehoahaz, will become king. It's terrible Russia. He's going to be killed, and then his first son, Yehoyakim, will become king. He's terrible Russia. In his day, Nebuchadnezzar will finally appear on the scene from Babel. After Yehoyakim is killed, his son, who is the grandson of Yoshiyahu, will become king. That's Yechaniah. And then after he is taken into Galus, then Tzidkiyahu will become king, and the Beis HaMikdash will be destroyed in his day. That's the order that we have coming up in the next few stories. So this is the order we're going to have it in. Obviously, we'll repeat it as we go along, but just to give a sense, it gets a little convoluted, because usually it's father, son, grandson, great-grandson, etc. And here we're going to move on, first of all, to different brothers, and even to a grandson, and then come back to an uncle. After the grandson is taken into Golos, then comes the uncle. But the line of Malchus Beis David continues from Yechaniah. Even though these two are Rishayim, but Yechaniah's son is Zerubbabel, whose other name is Nehemiah. And he, of course, is a great tzaddik. And that the line of Mashiach is going to come from that line. Even though you have the Rishayim over there, but that's where the line comes from. Tzidkiyahu's sons are going to be killed, and therefore the line can't come through Tzidkiyahu, it's going to come through here. Okay, it'll stop here for today.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.